Welcome back. This is Sight to the Blind. I got another guest on. If you noticed that my microphone, my sound is a little bit better in these last couple episodes because this brother here dropping me some knowledge on a new microphone. But I'm going to let him introduce himself.
Hey everybody, my name's David. I just created a TikTok and I called it Savat. And that's pretty much it. You know, I just... I've been following Larry since 2020, since that Covisha thing went down. So I just he introduced me to the Sefer, and I just been getting closer to God, Yahuwah. Still working on that with the names and everything, but you know, I'm new to the walk, so that's pretty much it. I'm just a regular dude.
And when you think your awakening came?
2020 is when. Like when everything shut down, I was like, all right, something's a little weird. Like what's going on? And I, like I said, I'm new to the walk, and I've always believed in God, and I knew that there was, you know, a higher power, there's a creator and everything, but I just realized that no, this is different. Like it's weird. And then that's when I downloaded podcasts, and I guess like podcasts started just going up because everybody was home. So then somebody on a podcast, I can't remember which one it was. They recommended purchasing a Bible. So I purchased a Bible and it was a King James Bible. And then I just started reading Psalms 91 every single day. And then I was like, but I need more. So then I started, I just started from Genesis. I just went from Genesis all the way to the end. And then that's when I realized like my whole life was a lie. That was it. When I found your podcast. And then when I found your podcast, because I found you, that's when, you know, even though it was a whole psyop with that whole Q stuff,
yeah,
there still was like a bunch of truth in it. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to front. There was a lot of truth in it. And then that's when I started following a bunch of different podcasts. And then you were on like Tommy G and like Sam Tripoli or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, yeah, that's weird. And then that's when I started following you. And then you mentioned the Sefer. It was a wrap from there.
What was your religion before you woke up?
Seventh-day Adventist. Cult.
Really?
Yeah.
This is you're the first guest ever been involved with that religion. Tell me more about it, because I don't really know that much about it.
So if the videos that I have on TikTok, I'm trying to expose the beast. And the beast, to my understanding, is a whole system. It's like, it's not, yes, I know it says that it is a person, but in my head, this is just how I understand it. It's a whole system. So I'm realizing that there's a lot of these religions are a bunch of cults and they're a part of that system. So when I was a Seventh-day Adventist, I was just born into it. And so I would say, I'm not going to lie, in the beginning, maybe like the old school, there was a lot of pioneers that I would say that were speaking the truth, but then it just kind of died down. And then that's when I realized it was just a cult.
What did you participate in? Like, what are your feast days? Did you do Thanksgiving, Christmas, or you're Everything. Not allowed to do that?
So the only thing we were not allowed to do was eat pork, but they did everything. They did everything else. I mean, everything in the world that you could possibly think. I mean, Chris, every single holiday. Yeah, every single Easter baskets. They had the Christmas tree. I went to, there was this church in Ashton, Maryland called Emmanuel Brinklow, and they had festivals. I mean, it was beautiful. I mean, Ben Carson went to that church. I don't know if you know Ben Carson.
Yeah,
he went to that church. There was a lot of celebrities that went to that church. We're talking Take Six, Clive Davis.
Oh, wow.
Not Clive Davis, Cliff, I forget his name, but he produced The Wiz.
Okay.
And Luther Vandross, a lot of his music, I forgot, but there's a lot of famous Seventh-day Adventists that are in the, like, Hollywood and stuff, but yeah, they had all the festivals there.
Oh, wow. Where are you from?
I'm from Connecticut, but I was raised in Baltimore, but I went to church in, Silver Spring.
Okay. I'm from Southern Maryland originally. Born in D.C. So, yeah, I understand what you were talking about. I understand what you were talking about. So your parents being Seventh-day Adventists, did they push that on you growing up, or was it something that you just happened to be a part of?
No, they did. That's a good question. I wouldn't say they. I was just born into it. I wouldn't say they pushed it on. I would say more so my mother pushed it on, but it was just known to be Seventh-day Adventist because I grew up around a bunch of Seventh-day Adventists as well as in the home.
And what have you found out about this world? I know you do a lot of videos on TikTok and you really are speaking that knowledge. So what do you feel is the coming of the beast system? How did you navigate knowing that it was the beast system? Like, what did you see in this world that was like, ah, this is the beast system and this is where we're going with it?
So kind of like going back to what I was saying about like back in the day, the church was, or the Seventh-day Adventist church was speaking a little bit of truth. There was a gentleman who passed away, but he's an older guy. His name was C.D. Brooks. And he was actually speaking about that, like he would visit the Vatican and the times that he went, 'cause he would preach all over the world. And he said, you know, that the Vatican has missing books. And I mean, well, they have the missing books, and there are scriptures taken out of the Bible. He was speaking this back then. So he would always preach about the mark of the beast. And then when it's kind of like when he passed away, there was no more of that type of preaching. So I was like, okay, hold up, hold up, hold up. I can't be in this world living like this, and people are just going to not preach about the end times. Like, in my head, I'm like, I'm not saying that I'm a teacher. I'm not saying that I'm a preacher. I'm not saying that I don't know, but it's like I just can't keep moving through life knowing that this information is out there because it was preached about and I know they're trying to suppress it. It's like I see a whole bunch of people that are struggling as well as myself. So it's like, let me just take up the torch, if you don't mind. I'm like, let me just take up the torch and expose the very people who are enslaving us. That's a part of the beast.
Right. And you started with what? Symbolism, numerology, hip hop, Hollywood. Like, where was your first industry that you attacked when you talked about exposing?
Well, so I used to do stand up. I used to be a stand up comedian, and I was 18 years old, and that's when I kind of I this is how I explain it. I was a micro celebrity. And when I mean micro, there's this point of like you're about ready to take off, but you got to choose which door you want to go into. So you could choose to exit where it's like they say, hey, nah, you good, or you choose the door where it's like, I'm be honest with you, it's butt stuff. Okay. And it's like, in order to get through that door, because at that time I had like Mike Epps retweeting me, I had like Cat Williams that was constantly retweeting me, and it's like I'm like, man, I could really make it. And then that's when I had messaged you and I told you, that's when this one executive, which I'm not into exposing right now. I just feel like y'all's not telling me to do that right now. I'm just be honest with you. But that's when one executive was asking me to do something and I said, nah, I'm good. And so that's when I ended up in the hospital for like 31 days after I didn't take that deal. And there was this nurse. There was about 10 nurses in total. And I would say that in that time that I was in the hospital, there was the last nurse. She was a black nurse. Nothing against white people. I'm just telling the story. There was nine out of the 10 nurses. There was nine nurses that were white. And they were, doing what they had to do. But on the 10th nurse, she was like, they're trying to kill you. Get out of here. And I said, say less. After I got out of that hospital, I couldn't find her. I tried to find her to thank her, couldn't find her. And then at that time, that's what I wasn't into conspiracies or I wasn't into, I didn't know nothing. I didn't know nothing. Now, oh, for sure. I believe it's in scripture that says, be careful because you may entertain angels or something like that. And I'm telling you to this day, she was an angel. There's no way. And ever since then, that's when I started realizing, okay, God is really trying to take me out of this life and to move into something different.
So what happened to you? Why was you in the hospital?
So I had like emergency blood transfusions. I had what is it? I had Osgood-Slaughter's disease. I had I had a bunch of kidney issues. I had a bunch of breathing issues. It's like almost like I was getting attacked.
Right.
Like for not, I'm telling, like literally after I said no, I'm good. I'm not doing that. It was like I felt like I literally got attacked, almost like it was like Satan saying, "Nah, bro, we need you." But then again, it was like God saying, "No, I want you to come back. No, come to me. I'm telling you, I could take care of you." And so, I just had a whole bunch of issues, and they couldn't get it fixed. And then it wasn't until that nurse came, and she was like, "I don't know if maybe God was just or Yahuwah was telling me, look, bro, I need you to focus. I can take you out of here, but as you're in here, I need you to recognize exactly what's going on. So when you come out, you can start preaching the gospel or telling people about me." And I'm not gonna lie, even when I got out, I still was stumbling. I wasn't being on fire as I would say that I am now. But since that moment, that's when I realized that God was really trying to take control of my life.
And where did you try to go with this comedy gift? Like, were you trying to be stand up and then stand up to go to movies and movies go to Hollywood? Like, you wanted to do the whole nine. That's where your mind was going?
Most definitely. I even had this one, there was this one comedian. He was on, I forget his name, but it was this one comedian. He was like, "Yo, you're funnier than Dave Chappelle." And I was like, "Nah, that's cap." And that's fine. I mean, you know, it's like, but then again, that's when I realized. So, for example, he's not in, he passed away, but his name is Aaron Spears. I got a photo with him. He was Justin Bieber and Usher's drummer. He even told me, he was like, "Bro, you're a funny dude, but you don't want to be a part of this life." Now, he passed away last year, of course, after the whole Diddy allegations and stuff. Because I'm not saying, I'm not trying to accuse him or anything. Like, may he rest in peace. I'm not trying to say he was a part of that. But then again, he was saying, you know, you don't want to be a part of that. But I could have, if that makes sense. Like, I really could have. But the only reason why I would say that I feel like I could have, and I'm, you know, just saying it right now, is that based off of what my TikTok is doing right now, like the numbers that it's doing right now, and me speaking about Yahuwah, I know that I could have took off speaking about Satan or working for Satan, but I like this life better. I'm not gonna lie, it's rough. There's no money involved in it, but who cares about that? Because as reading the word and the second Exodus and getting closer to Yahuwah and knowing that my gift or my reward is much greater than anything Lucifer or Satan is and his imps can provide, man, I'll take this.
Preach, bro, preach. Now, when you talked about the stumbling, what did you stumble upon trying to go into this wall?
Pornography and the women, because I would say that it's definitely the women, because like when this is just what I've learned. Women love funny guys. Like they just really love funny guys. And when you are doing the like the stand up, the executives or whatever, they know this. And so they're presenting this women to you. And these women are just like being around parties and a bunch of celebrities and stuff, they're like, "Oh man, this is this person and he's around this person." So it's like I got used to that and I got accustomed to that. And it got to the point where it was like I was so comfortable with it that I knew that I was doing wrong. I'm telling you, God saying, Yahuwah is saying, bro, I'm gonna need you to stop. Like this is no good for you." And I just wouldn't learn. And then I would get messed up. I definitely run into a lot of issues.
And you had issues as far as when you talk about porn, it was just like the women wasn't satisfying you enough 24/7. Like you needed another outlet. I can understand with this too, because after a while, it's like you don't want to go out and chase. You don't want to go to a bar. You could just sit there with your laptop and, 5, 10 minutes, you good. And then you'll come back to it 5, 10 minutes more and you good. So I understand what you're talking about. But how was you able to let go of that addiction?
So that's when we're gonna get a little weird as far as
Nah, bro, we
conspiracy.
get weird on this show.
All right. So there's a demon by the name of Asmodeus. Have you ever heard of him?
Yes.
Okay, so there's a demon named Asmodeus, and Asmodeus, no, I'm not saying that he presented himself to me, but this is when it kind of freaked me out when I started studying how he, it gets to the point where he talks about how he, when men and women are sleeping, and if the woman is pregnant, he will send a demon into the night, into the womb to destroy based off of you watching pornography. So I'm like, hold on. This kind of makes sense because it's kind of like a courtroom, if you think about it. Because right. This is how, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but this is how I understand it. It's not that if Satan comes in or Lucifer or Asmodeus comes in and then he just willingly kills the baby as if like there's Yahuwah is not going to protect you. No. You are giving him the legal authority.
Right.
When you are watching this stuff, you are saying, I accept what you are presenting, whatever you're presenting on the screen, I accept. And then it's based off of your lust. Now your whole home is unprotected. So it's whoever you sleeping with, whoever you're dealing with is now that demon is now passing on to them.
Right.
And so I said, nah, I can't do that anymore. I'm good because I started realizing a whole bunch of problems. I couldn't even connect to a woman anymore. I couldn't even talk to a woman properly. I would consistently disrespect. That's when the narcissism would come in, malignant narcissism. I mean, everything you can name in the book, besides the weird stuff, nothing illegal, but like not like rape or anything like that. But it was just everything that Asmodeus, the demon of lust, wanted to enter into this world was basically entering into my life through the computer screen and then through these women.
And you felt that. That feeling or that emotion that you were being constantly attacked, even when you were talking about you can't speak to women, because I feel like that demon chokes our ability to relate to anybody when we're so stuck in the porn addiction. Because also Asmodeus, he has the power to transform into a male and a female. So he goes back and forth just to play around with men. And once you have that spirit in you, then your mind just goes above and beyond fulfilling lust. Now it goes from women, then it goes to porn, then it goes to bringing that porn into your bedroom, and then you bringing that porn everywhere you go. It ain't just you trying to keep it in the house. You bring it in the streets, you bring it in, you know, as outside, you bringing it wherever you go. So how did you feel that you dealt with that? Did you have to quit cold turkey?
No. So I have I actually have a I would. It's not a 10-step guide because it's more like a 17-step guide on how to get free from pornography. But I will tell you right now that the New International Version, the English Standard Version, and the Message have all removed this text. It's Matthew 17 verses 21. That howbeit this cannot be removed without prayer and fasting.
Right.
And I'm telling you right now, as soon as I started doing that, yes, I would pray. But literally, I did the work of fasting, and that's when it was like I would go 3 days of not fasting to the point where it was like I want the food so much that it took my mind off of the pornography. I'm just being straight up. It took my mind off of the pornography, but at the same time, I was losing weight. Not saying that I'm doing it to lose weight, but it was like I'm losing weight. Then my mind just started changing. When I mean my mind started changing, I would start seeing colors differently, just all because of fasting. And then I started reading more. Then I started writing more. Then I started playing. I learned how to play the piano. So it's like, okay, hold on. If I can do this just from prayer and fasting, and then I'm no longer watching this porn, I'm telling you straight up, my life got significantly better. No cap. My life got significantly better ever since I started praying and fasting and actually getting into the word and building a relationship with Yahuwah.
And how did that transform into relationships after porn? Are you married, single, or what's your situation?
So I'm single. And reason why I say that with a sigh is because the women are today, and this is no disrespect to women, but the women today are just not how they were in the past. Now that I can see everything, it's example. There was this one girl that I was talking to that called me gay because I didn't want to have sex with her. I was like, wait, hold on. This doesn't even make any sense. That doesn't make, like, I'm trying to tell you I want to get to know you.
Right.
I actually want to be with you, but you're calling me gay because I don't want to have sex with you. And I've only known you for a month. So I realized that now with all of this knowledge, and I believe even Solomon talks about it, that like the more knowledge you gain, the more sorrow you have. And that's, I'm gonna be straight up, that's the truth. Like, I have more sorrow, not depression, but I'm saying I have more sorrow because now I know exactly what the woman is about. And I'm just saying that I truly believe, this is me personally, that Yahuwah has given me the gift of singleness. Not that I'm saying, not saying that I don't want to be with any woman. I'm just saying I really feel like he's given me the gift of singleness because he's got other plans for me. That's just how I feel right now.
Okay. So that's where you feel like he's leading you. He's leading you a different direction. And maybe you feel like someday you would want a household of your own, right?
Yeah, most
Okay.
definitely.
How old are you?
I'm 36.
Okay. So you still got time. We
Yeah.
can have babies for whenever, bro. We
Right.
we could be 60. We could
Yeah.
have babies.
Right.
So you feel like you are being prepared to share the truth and not prepared to be a husband? Like, are you like, what do you pray for? You feel like, are you praying just for more information and staying in this walk, or are you praying to be the pinnacle, which is to be a husband? Like, what is your mindset?
I would say it's kind of both,
Okay.
because I will be honest with you, Yahuwah knows that I would love to have a woman, okay? Like, I definitely would love to be married. Then again, I'll be totally honest with you and the viewers and those listening is that I know my past and how I've dealt with women in the past, and it's like I just don't want to go back to that life. And I'm not saying that the woman that I meet is, I'm gonna treat her that way. I have healed. I'll be totally honest with you. I have truly healed. I'm ready to be a husband, but at the same time, there is something in the background where it's like, okay, I just want to make sure that I am not taking my eyes off of Yahuwah because how he's taken me out of so much mess. I don't want to go back to that mess. And I'm not even just talking about the women. I'm talking about like just my entire life.
Right.
I don't want to go back to that old life. So if he's telling me that, bro, I will set somebody up for you, but right now I need you to do this work first, then I will do it. That's pretty much it.
Well, let me hit let
Yeah.
me let me hit you with a real question then. What if, based on your past with women, what if you end up with a woman that has the same type of past that you put women through in your past? Or would you be able to have the same type of compassion, empathy, and patience to clean up what you propagated with those women? Would you be able to clean that up in another woman?
I would say yes, especially if I know that she won. Well, especially if I know that one, Yahuwah said, "Look, this is who I have for you." Because I don't want to sound stupid, but if I look, there's no in the Bible as I read, and I'm getting closer to Yahuwah. It's clear. It's evident that no one is perfect, and there are a lot of people that have a lot of issues. In the word. So who am I to say that, like, yeah, I had a bad past, but I can't be with you because you had a bad past. No. That's, and I'm not saying that that's what you were saying, but I'm saying if Yahuwah presents somebody with that type of past, and I've had this same type of past, and I've already confirmed that this is the person for me, it's done deal. Because I'm telling you, the way that Yahuwah has been working, I say even just in the past year, Within the past year, the way that he's been working, I know that I have literally been, I can confidently say that I have been following his laws, statutes, and commitments. And I'm still working on the whole feast days and the holiday stuff. I'm still new to the walk, however, and I'm not trying to make excuses, but he's been taking care of me for the past month. I know that if he presents a woman to me who whatever her past is, I know that this is the woman for me, especially if I've confirmed it by him.
Good, good. And then when you talked about the feast days, what feast days are you participating in now that you're learning?
So here's where I'm at. I don't celebrate no holidays, okay? And I tried, and I'll be honest, I've tried. So I have a property in Florida. So what I would do is, when I was at that property, I would set up a fire pit, and I would roast some stuff because I've heard a couple podcasts from you where you were saying that, God's not telling you to go kill a whole bison. Okay, so he's like, yo, he's like, he understands that you're trying, man. So if you got to go get a little steak or a little lamb or something like that, then put it. And I tried that, but that's the most, because I'm gonna be honest with you, I am just a little bit confused, and I'm still trying to learn. That's why I follow, your podcast, and I'm still reading the word as to what the calendar is or what the days are. But I know for sure, 100%, them holidays is gone. Not even when somebody tells me happy birthday, I'm like, yeah, I don't do that. I'm talking about, I don't even have any. Mr. Larry, I have no friends and I have no family. I'm telling you straight up, none, zero, zero. I'm talking about, even my grandmother was the closest person to me. I don't even talk to her. So, and she is heavily, and I don't, please. Know that if she were to ever listen to this, please know that I am not trying to disrespect you when I say this. However, I put my trust in Yahuwah, and that is who I answer to. But all I can say is that my grandmother, who I love deeply, is not following Yahuwah, and it got to the point where I was loving her more than my walk, and I couldn't have that. And like I said, I have no friends and family, and they all wish happy birthday. Oh, you coming for Thanksgiving? Oh, you coming for Christmas? I had to tell them, I don't do it. I love you, but I don't do it. And so I don't have any of them.
How was that kind of distancing yourself from family members and friends? Was it tough, or was this, for some of us, it's easy. Like me, it was easy. It's only because I alienated so many people. The next step was to follow Yahuwah and not look back. So did you feel like along the way you were changing, getting into this walk, and your friends just kind of fell by the wayside, or your family think you're weird or in a cult because you following nothing but scripture?
Yeah, so in 20 between the years, okay, so when everybody, or I'm sorry, when I had woke up in 2020, I would say, to give a timeline, from the year 2020 to 2022, that's when I started seeing that my friends were dropping like flies, whether they were dropping me or I was dropping them, but I was still close to my family. From the years 2022 to, I'd say, 2024, that's when I started losing closer family members. And it wasn't until about 3 to 4 months ago, that's when my grandmother, my brother, and my sister, we just stopped talking. So that was hard. The friends from 2020 to 2022 was easy because it was just easy. First of all, even let's just say we'd relieve you who are out of it. I was like, y'all spending way too much money. Why are you asking me, am I going to Miami again? We just left. So I'm like, yeah, no. So that was easy. But then with the family, it was like, I grew up with them. That's my family. And I tried talking to them, and every last one of them have called me a conspiracy theorist. Every last one of them. And I'm like, okay. You could call me a conspiracy theorist, and that's fine. I understand that, I'll send you videos about 9/11. Okay, yes, that, yes. All right, that's cool. But we're talking about the word of God, man. Like, it's literally saying it plainly in scripture, and you're still calling me a conspiracy theorist? That's when I realized, Who's more important, Yahuwah and salvation or your family? Because it even says that, I believe in John, or it's definitely in the New Testament where it talks about that your family will turn against you. Your brother, your sister, your parents will forsake you. So I was like, okay, if they'll do that and they can't even take just simple texts that I'm presenting to them and you're still calling me a conspiracy theorist, listen, I serve Yahuwah. And he's definitely be taking me out a lot of stuff. And on top of that, forgive me, but on top of that, do y'all not even realize that I have been homeless for three times out of my life? That I have been hungry my entire life? That I was molested at 9 years old, bro? And y'all know this? And yet you still gonna call me a conspiracy theorist? That doesn't make any sense. I'm right. trying to follow Yahuwah.
And how did you get through that though? 9 years old, being as young as you are, was it something you blocked out and said, I'll return to it and deal with it another time? Or was it something that really affected you growing up?
No, it definitely affected me. And then it was like on top of that, it's like as soon as like my parents got divorced at the age of what, 11 or 12? And I was like, now y'all want to give up? Now, so I was like, all right, and then I got I don't want to give exact who it was, but I got a family member that was human trafficked, and I'm like, hold up. Then I got another family that's been a family member that's been choked out, you know. Then I got another when I was what, 8 years old, I'm over here trying to protect another family member from another family member trying to defile her. And I'm 8 years old? Like, hold up. That's when I started realizing not only is Satan a part of this life and watching, I think I'm be honest with you, I think he's watching me. Because like I said, it just being in the whole life of like even like the celeb status, like the micro celebrity status, I realized that I'm not trying to boast or anything like that, but I realized that I had a gift. A little early on. And I realize I have a gift, and I realize that Satan has really been trying to take a hold of that gift and knows that the power that I have through Yahuwah, and he does not want me speaking or exposing these very people that are currently enslaving us or trying to keep us out of the heavenly kingdom. So now that I'm recognizing that, I said, it's on. It's war.
And that's something that we all have to take up, right, is that war. And I don't think people truly understand what that war actually means. It's confronting your past, but also confronting the bloodline demons that run through all of our families. And there's no shock and no surprise that at the end of it, we end up in porn. We end up in a porn addiction because of these spirits and these unclean walks that are in our life and our bloodlines. And it's something that we are given the task to break these generational curses. It is what it is. Like, we're sheltering and harboring these unclean water spirits since the time we've been taken from West Africa. And at that time, we were worshiping water demons, water spirits. And that's nothing but, you know, really high spiritually transmitted sexual demons. That's all it is. And it just filters through our bloodline and it picks on whatever person that's susceptible to it. We just happen to be the ones that it was going to end up stopping somewhere. And I think it attacked us harder because we were the ones that were going to stop it. Like, only Yah knows our future, but these demons know exactly where to pounce and who to pounce on. So the fact that you are dealing with it just as much as I've dealt with it, maybe not the molestation part of it, but dealing with heavy porn addiction and being loose and lascivious, it comes from somewhere, bro. It's like we just woke up and like one day we just wanted to do porn, or one day we just want to jump from bed to bed to bed. And like, no, those energies and those vibes, that those thoughts come from somewhere. And it's just, when you look back now, you'd be like, oh, he had me. Satan had me. Like, I get it. I get what this war is about. And people don't want to come to the realization that they actually have to involve themselves in actual warfare, which is, you don't have to go out and share the whole Bible on your social media platforms, but you do have to do something.
Yeah. Most definitely.
And you feel, how far do you feel like you ready to push this thing, like till death? Because that's what it's calling for some of us, is till death that we push this truth. Do you feel that, or you feel like it's gonna be a stopping point somewhere for you?
No. Definitely not a stopping point. And the reason why I know that is because if you like, okay, so if you were to look at my TikTok, there's a video that I have about the world rulers, and it has 1.2 million views on there. And if you look at the comments, everybody is saying, oh my gosh, aren't you scared? Oh my gosh, protect yourself. Oh my gosh, blah, blah, blah. And every time I see that comment, I'm saying, do y'all not read what happened to Stephen? And I'm trying to tell y'all, I have that fear. Because I know I can look in the sky after exposing these people, after going against the Sanhedrin, which is the judicial system today, after going after these juice boxes. That's an I don't know. You know what the
I got it. I
juice
picked it right on up. As soon as you dropped it, I picked
is? So,
it
yeah, TikTok is funny because you got to speak in code because I'm on strike number three and I'm trying not to get my account banned. So I call it, yeah, it's the Jews, but I call them the juice boxes. But yeah, it's like, what do you think Stephen was doing? What do you think Yahusha was doing? What do you think Amos was doing? All these people, John the Baptist, all these people were going up against the very people who are trying to destroy you. So I'm not turning back because I know if I turn back that life is, oh man, that life is waiting for me. I know that life is waiting. It's so easy to be famous. It doesn't take talent. It does not. Have y'all seen who's out there? It does not take talent. So I know I can easily go back to that, and I know it's nothing. It's gonna be what's gonna be left is, yeah, maybe wealth and riches, but it's going to be a whole lot of destruction, and I will not be able to enter into the kingdom. There's no way. No, I can't turn back.
And how far you feel like you're gonna go with teaching? Like I would love to start hear you start teaching. Once you get comfortable, once you get acclimated to the word, I know that sooner down the line, you're gonna start hitting scriptures. You're gonna be hitting scripture after scripture after scripture. I'm waiting for that day. I'm gonna allow you to go through the world and waking the people up, but I can't wait. With the same type of fire and intensity that you have, I can't wait till you really start touching scripture and getting the basis and the foundation of the feast days and all that, because I know it's going to really take off for you.
Oh, well, appreciate that. Yeah, I tried to help. Okay, I'm running into a lot of Hebrew Israelites, that Masonic cult. I'm running the ones that be in Brooklyn. I'm running into a lot of them. They keep correcting me about this is not his name is not Jesus. I'm like, okay, I just bought the sefer. Okay, I don't even know how to pronounce Yahuwah properly. Okay, it's like or Yamashi. I'm still trying to adjust and understand who these names are. And the only reason why I named my company Savat was because when I was reading scripture, I was like, whatever I do, I want to glorify him. And that's the first thing that came when I bought the sefer. That's the first thing that I saw, Yahuwah Savat. So I named it Savat. And it's like, when I try and preach, I wouldn't say preach, but when I'm trying to even just say things on TikTok, I have like the Hebrew Israelites saying that I'm going to go to hell or I'm not going to enter in because I'm calling them the wrong name and everything. I'm like, I would literally have to fight them and say, I just found this information out 2 months ago. I'm trying to get closer to him. I'm trying to call him the correct name because when I go through history, and no disrespect to anybody that calls him Jesus, but through my research, that's not his name.
It is a difficult name change, especially when you grew up where that's all you knew was God, Lord Jesus. It does take a while, not a long while, but it does take a while to kind of purge those old names off, out of your mouth and out of your head. It just comes with time. But yeah, those Masonic Hebrew Israelite cults is I don't even pay attention to them. And they talk a lot, but I don't even pay attention. Even now and again, I'll jump on their pages and say something slick and bounce out. And they just be, oh, this ain't what it is. They ain't what you know. I was like, bro, I seen y'all put your thumbs in pyramids like a Masonic cult. Like, cut that out. Like, you ain't fooling nobody up here. So, did you ever feel that you want to get introduced? Because I'm going back to your almost Hollywood life. Did you feel like they wanted to steer you towards being a Prince Hall Freemason? Or just to kind of use you the way they wanted to use you.
No. And the only reason why I say no is because, based off of what I know about, I would say, like numerology and 666 and Baphomet and all that other stuff, that stuff was present, but they don't introduce that in the beginning. Like they just don't. I don't know about anyone else, but they did not int I'm gonna be totally honest. What I do know that they introduce is everything that is pleasurable first. And then once you in there and they either got you on camera or they got you in a place where you shouldn't be, then that's when they're like, okay, we already got you. So I'm gonna need okay. The reason why I know this. A reason why I know this is because, for example, you know who DeVito is? Yeah, he was my so we went to school together. I'm not calling him a Mason or anything like that, but it's just I don't talk to him anymore, but he was a cool dude when I knew him because he was just a regular dude, but now he's just like super famous, and then that's when I see the one eye stuff, and it's like he wasn't like that before. All the I even there's a celebrity, and I won't name her name, but there's a celebrity who is a celebrity now that I dated, and she was not like that how she is now. A few of my friends who are either, for example, I'll say this, like Corey Henry, he plays for Kanye West now, okay? So he is not he was not like how he is now. So that's why I gave that explanation about the two door thing is that I chose not to choose that door to go into whatever life that they're in, because you will take off, you will. And but like I said, they never show me that stuff, like the pyramids and triangles and
So you felt like you never had it in your soul in Ruach that you would have the ability to cross over. So mind you, say if Yah didn't wake you up, do you really feel deep down in your Ruach that you would easily be able to accept those oaths and those commandments that they have when people reach that certain level? Do you feel like you would automatically just gravitate into it? Or you felt like from the day you were born, you felt like you were destined for something bigger, but it wasn't entertainment.
That's a good question. I would say that something kept telling me I was I was destined for something greater. However, when I would be presented with the opportunity of possibly opening up for this person, or maybe getting a movie role, or maybe being in an advertisement, I would briefly think that that was my calling, if that makes sense. But every time that I thought that was my calling, something in my system was like, yeah, or someone would be like, yeah, nah, we don't want you, or nah, you can't do that, or not, because I'll be honest with you, it was easy. It was very easy to make people laugh. It was very easy to be on camera. It was very easy to edit. It was very easy to play the music, or to make friends or be a part of that life. But every time I would actually get close to it, something was like, yeah, nah. But then when I'm like doing the stuff on TikTok, or I'm helping, for example, and this is not the boast, but like there was somebody on the side of the road up the street from me that she had a flat tire. She was probably like 80 years old, and then she had her little girlfriends with her, and I changed her tire, and I was going to get ice cream. Okay, so I changed her tire for her, and then she was like, oh, God bless you. And I said, don't worry about it. I felt more fulfillment in that moment working for serving someone than I ever did in my entire life of actually making, I wouldn't say making somebody laugh, but like being paid or being on stage to make people laugh about a whole bunch of nonsense. Telling jokes about how long I last. Like, that's not funny. I mean, it is funny. I'm be honest with you. Mm-hmm. It was fun because, like, even Bernie Mac did it. I mean, it's funny when you put it that way. But then it's like, for what, man? Like, there was no fulfillment in that.
That's what I was about to ask you. I said, like, what was your material when you got when you did your stand up? Would you what would you really touch on? Was it you just said sex, but what else did you touch on to be funny?
It was they liked a lot of so I wouldn't say that I mastered interpersonal communication skills because that's really big when it comes to comedy and really working the crowd. But I'd say that my material was like there was two things that I like to do. It was one, talking about other people, and then sex. It was really those two things or anything along the lines of sex. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, I don't know why they liked so much with the fact that I couldn't last. I don't know if they thought it was true or false, but it's just I noticed that like when you start saying a lot of truths and there's people in the stands that can't last and they feel a part of you because you're making fun, you're making light of the situation that they know that their girl knows that they can't last. Or something like that, you know, or you know, they too quick or something like that. So I would make those jokes, and those are the things that really just made people laugh. And yeah, like making fun of other people, that's what I do. And yeah.
Did you repent for all that? Did you have to fast to get all of that out of your system?
In fact, there was a politician who I'm sorry, let me take that back. There is a politician now who was not a politician then that I used to clown him all the time. And I won't say his name, but he is a politician now. And I'm talking about he's up there. And I, before he became who he is, I apologized to him. Okay. And I said, I'm sorry. I should have never did that. Come to find out two of his closest friends, they exed, they dead. Wow. Two of his closest friends is gone.
Dang.
And I was like, okay. And I, even though we wasn't tight like that, me doing all of that stuff, what if me surrounding myself around that environment, who's to say he'd have been like, oh, because come on, like, especially I know your viewers know this, but you know these politicians got the power to, it only take about 10 G's to get rid of somebody.
Right, if that.
If that. There's people that do it for less. So, I mean, that could have been me. So that's why I was like, yeah, I'm good. You know what? Like, I apologize. I'm sorry. And I wasn't doing that because I was scared of him. I was just like, this just doesn't seem right to me.
Bro, we just about out of time for this show, but you have been a true blessing. I'm glad you hit me up and fixed my sound and my mic and this steamrolled into this episode. I'm truly appreciative of you coming on. Give us the last words of wisdom as a 36-year-old man new to this walk, and there's others going to be new to this walk and regardless of what age they are in. Give us some pearls of wisdom of how they can navigate Yahuwah and this world at the same time.
All right, well, thanks, my brother. What I would say is no matter where your walk is, no matter what you are doing, if you fail, that is not the time for you to give up on Yahuwah. In fact, when you are weak, that is when his strength is made perfect. I don't care what you're going through. Literally, as soon as you fail, that is when the first person you need to talk to is Yahuwah, not nobody else. Respectfully, not your mom, not your girlfriend, not your wife, because you have to understand whatever situation you are currently going through, those people are not going to be the ones to be able to repair it. You have to go to Yahuwah first so he can give you the wisdom in order to repair what you are broken about. That's it.
True. True. Praise the Most High. Yeah, bro, when you come down here, I'm gonna exchange numbers with you, bro. When you come down here, we're gonna do a feast day together. We're
Okay.
gonna do a feast day together.
That's fine. I love Baltimore, as crazy as it is and dangerous
Oh,
out
we in
here.
my I'm in Florida, my man.
Oh, you in Florida?
Yeah, I'm in Florida.
Well, hold on. Okay, we'll talk off air because I got property in Florida, out in the country, bro.
Bad. Oh, okay, then it's
All right, that worked.
on then. So, all right, bro. I'll see you on the other side real quick.
All right.